But that's okay, because the Lord gives me what I need. So Matthew chapter 9, and verse 20 is where we're going to begin out here in a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we once again thank You for the blessings of this day. Lord, especially the blessing of the Lord Jesus coming forth from the grave and who is alive today on the right hand of God. And Lord, we're so thankful for that we serve a living Savior. And because of His resurrection, we know that one day, if we're in the grave when You return, that we'll be resurrected. If not, we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The Word of God said so, and that makes it so. And Lord, I thank You for that. I ask You to bless our services tonight. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I was going to have somebody sing the special, "He Touched Me," but I spaced getting that lined out too. So we're not going to worry about the special. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, it says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind Him and touched the hem of His garment." We're talking about Jesus. "For she said within herself, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be whole." Bless you. "But Jesus turned him about, and when He saw her, He said, Daughter, be of good cheer." Be of good comfort, excuse me. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now there's two happenings in this passage. We didn't read the first one. It speaks of a man named Jairus and his daughter. It says here a certain ruler in verse 18, that man was Jairus. If we know that, because in the other Gospels it states it. And there was a huge crowd, and his daughter was sick, and to be honest with you, his daughter died. And they were in a huge crowd, and Jesus was easing along in this crowd, going to this man's house, and he's all nervous. He's wanting this to hurry up. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just stops. Because He felt the virtue, and He says so in another one of the Gospels, go out of him, because someone had touched him with that kind of faith. That touching him, they would be whole. Now, this woman had tried everything. When you read the account in a couple of the other Gospels, you'll find out that she had used all she had. She had used all the money she had. She had been to doctors left and right, and could nobody fix her. Now, if she'd have just been healed, what good would that do? She's still going to die and go to hell. Just because Jesus healed people doesn't mean they were going to heaven. He made her whole, though. When she touched him, He told her, He said, you've been made whole. Your faith has made thee whole. Because she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. My question for anybody that may be watching or may hear this later on sermon audio or even here tonight is, have you been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it changes things when that happens. It's one thing to sit and hear the gospel of Jesus. It's one thing to sit and in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, maybe even make it on Wednesdays. That's one thing. But it's quite another to be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This woman was made whole. Jairus' daughter, as you read on down, he said, but Jesus turned, and no, that ain't the verse I'm looking for. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, verse 24, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. She had died. Jesus said, she ain't dead. She'll be okay. And then he says, it says they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. You see, when the Lord touches us in a special way, all these other things doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't. When I was touched by the Lord, I realized that that's all I needed. I might have some other problems. You talk to my wife, she thinks I've got a lot of problems. But I may have all of that, but it doesn't matter anymore because Jesus has touched me and made me whole. See, that's what it's all about. That's what today was all about. We celebrate Christmas. The sign out there talks about that. We celebrate Christmas. That's when the Lord Jesus got here. And so many people want to see the baby in the manger. And that's all fine, well, and good. But he came as a babe. He grew up in this world. And 33 years, give or take, they put him on a cross. What they didn't realize is they didn't do that. He put himself on there. Listen, if Satan, and I've told you this before, if Satan had have knew by him being crucified what would take place, he'd have put a stop to that with all the power he had. He'd have said, no, we got to stop this. You know, when he died, and I think it was Brother Kevin who made reference to this morning. When he died on that cross, you got to know that Satan was sitting there thinking, I have done it. I've succeeded. But boy, when he came up out of the grave. When he raised up out of the grave, they didn't roll the stone back for him. When he came up out of the grave, Satan was like, uh-oh, what have I done? And from that point on, Jesus has touched a lot of people. You see, when I go through the Bible of who he's touched, I look at, and this is just a handful, but I look at Matthew, the tax collector. Anybody in here a tax collector? I'd rather flip hamburgers at McDonald's than be a tax collector. But the Lord called him. And he just got up and went. He was a changed man. You think of John. John and James. They're called the Sons of Thunder. There's many people to tell you why. They were loud preachers. Really, that ain't why they call them the Sons of Thunder. They call them the Sons of Thunder because some folk wasn't listening to Jesus. And John said, well, call down fire and kill them all. That was the whole idea. But you know, John changed his heart's thinking as he went along. You know, I told you a while back, I used to have a bumper sticker that said, nuke them all, let God sort them out. I don't see it that way anymore. I look at it and I'm like, there's people that need Jesus out here. That'll change their lives. That'll change their whole thing. Washington, D.C. is full of folk that need Jesus. The White House and the Congress up there is full of folk that need Jesus, and all this will change. Gas prices have dropped too. Everything, listen, if they just had Jesus, just the touch of Jesus in their lives, all this would change. You see, that changes everybody. John, he changed. And I would say it broke his heart. The very last verse of Revelation, let me read that. The very last verse of Revelation, and it's actually in the Bible if I can get to it. Well, it ain't the last verse, second to last verse. Verse 20, he said, "He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen, even so come Lord Jesus." I'm going to tell you what he was probably doing. He was probably standing there on the Isle of Patmos, and he could see all of those people in Ephesus. He could see that from there, the lights of the cities. When I look at the lights of Vegas, and we got a beautiful view. At nighttime, oh, it's gorgeous out on the porch. That view's worth millions. And I look down there and I think, how many people down there, if the rapture happened tonight? I come over here last night. I put the sign out here by the road. Somebody remind me, I'll bring it back in. But I come over here last night and I saw all of that down there. And my first thoughts were, I wonder how many people, if the rapture happened tonight, will still be sitting down there. A lot of them. I'm just going to take a wild guesstimate. 7/8 of them? Maybe 3/4? I don't know. But it's going to be a bunch. And I thought, they need the gospel of Jesus. But then I had to say it the same way John said it. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I would say when he was looking across the water there to Ephesus, and he probably thought, man, there's a lot of lost souls there. But even so, come Lord Jesus. You see, John's heart was changed. He was saved already. Even when he said, Lord, call down the fire, kill them all. He was a saved man. He was on his way to heaven. But the longer he was with Jesus, the more he became like Jesus. See, that's our goal in life. It should be the longer we're here on this earth, the more compassionate we are. The longer we're here on this earth, the more we ought to think like Jesus. I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. The longer I'm here, the more I look like my dad. And the more I sound like my dad. The more I even think like my dad. My wife is in trouble. No, she's known my dad. But the longer we're here, we're going to be more like our Father in heaven. We are going to change in a way that people will see. That's what needs to happen. The longer we're here, people need to see Jesus in us. You think about Peter. Peter went from telling the Lord Jesus, you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, how do you know that? I'll tell you how, because God revealed it to you. He went from that to standing over a fire and warming his hands, cussing and screaming and saying, I don't know him. Denying Jesus, then turned around and became one of the best preachers there was. 3,000 people the day he preached at Pentecost got saved. 3,000 people. How'd you like that to baptize all them? That'd be pretty wild, you know. Is it over yet? No, you got 1,700 left. Oh. He probably had to get some help. 3,000 people over his sermon. You see, by him spending time with the Lord, it changed his life. It's just that touch of the Lord that'll change everything. Bless this woman's heart. She had tried everything there was in the world. We try that. We do that. We try everything in the world to get things right. And what we ought to do is turn to God immediately. But of course, most men is, oh, I got this.
Hang on, I got it.
You know, I've even went as far as to say, well, I've told her, well, you know, the Lord didn't create a dummy. And she's over there with this look like, yeah, I know more than you do. We try it all before we break down and say, Lord, I need help. I really do. I need, you know, we just tend to do that. I'll tell you a spot you don't want to get into. It was mentioned to me earlier today from someone, and I've been there. Jacob tried God several times. And then he wrestled with God. And Jacob had a limp the rest of his life. And at the end of his life, it talks about he was leaning, propped up on a staff. If you can avoid wrestling with God, you probably ought to. Because it doesn't turn out real good for you in certain ways. I've got some limps and some aches and pains, and I've got parts that I wasn't born with added, all because I decided to wrestle with God. When he touches you, don't argue with him. That's some advice. That's just gemology. So you can take it with a grain of salt, but you can take it from experience. When he touches you and said, this is what I want, don't argue with him. Because argument, you know what arguments do? When I was a kid, we'd get in arguments, me and some guy I'm with. And before it was over with, well, we're pounding each other. That's what happens. When you argue with God, eventually you're going to end up wrestling with God. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he's going to come out on top. You know, he's going to take it to the finished deal. But if you've never been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that I mean, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, whether you're here, because I don't know everybody. I can look around, I kind of figure. Folk are saved. But I don't know that. I can't see your heart. People watching, or folks going to listen later, I don't know. But if you've never been there, I'll go ahead and tell you. There's a song I sing occasionally, and it says in that song, fall down on your knees and pray. You probably ought to be asking the Lord into your heart right about now. And then as you grow in with Him, and you become more like Him, because by the way, when we get saved, we start transforming. It starts changing whether you want it or not. There's some changes going to come. I didn't want to be as good looking as I am, but that's just the way it worked. I was born of my dad. You know, my dad and my mom, they got together. My mom had me, and she said, oh, he's such a good looking. No. I look more and more like my dad. Listen, it's a change that I couldn't stop. When we're born again, it's a change we can't stop. And it's going to keep going. We can try to stop it, but we're going to end up wrestling with God. And He will win. Amen. You know, I've been touched by the Lord so many times. And I never complain. When you get that feeling of the Holy Ghost, I was sitting here this morning listening to the specials that was singing. And I honestly, there was a few times I almost stood up and said, hey, man. I mean, oh, man, I wanted to bad. I'm going to tell on somebody. Brother Tom sitting over there. He come to me and Roger. This song I'm going to sing, I've been singing, 30 years? He's never been able to make it through the second verse. Today he made it through all of them. He said, pray for me. I said, you know what? I will. I prayed for him. I went back in the office and I prayed for him. And then I'm sitting up here, and when I called him up here to sing that, man, I heard it cracking, and I'm like, I said, Lord, I said, touch him.
And oh man, I wanted to stand up and say, "Woo, hallelujah!" But I forgot I'm a Baptist. You ain't supposed to do that. You know, they may kick you out of church. I've been told I'm Baptist-costal. That's good. Listen, we got an eye-opening experience when we get to heaven. It's going to be shouting and people singing hallelujah. Folk doing this. You know, if you need your antennas, that's okay. I don't have a problem with it. But people are scared to death to get excited. Listen, I'm excited about the fact Jesus came out of the grave. And because of that, I'm going to heaven. Amen, brother. That's it. One of these days. I don't know when it'll be. Somebody told me, Sister Margaret. Oh, pray for them. I'd say they're home by now, but she ain't told me. She told me, she said, "Well, you know, Pastor, it's appointed every man to die." I said, "Yeah, unless the rapture happens." I'm ready for the rapture. But if I die before then, one of these days, poof, I'm going to get a 6-foot head start if I'm already in the ground. And I'm coming up, and then you guys can follow head out. Amen? That's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on the rapture to take place. I'm waiting to go to heaven because I am sick and tired of all the mess going on. Amen. It's depressing. But I'm going to tell you what will change that depression for you is to look out there and say it just like John did. "Even so, come Lord Jesus." Amen. If it's His will that He comes tonight, I know there's a lot of lost people going to be left here. And I know where they're going to end up. Amen. But even so, come Lord Jesus. But until that day, I need to be more like Him. I need to seek that touch from Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation. Every head bowed.